this convention, Lord, and your presence here with us as we gather in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you that we get to know you more. And it's just been on my heart recently. Oh, hallelujah. One day I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. What an expectant, joyous, blessed hope. And Lord, we just ask for your anointing to continue throughout the day. And just touch hearts, Lord. May our eyes and focus be on you, looking up, loving Jesus appearing. And we just thank you and bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord caught a word caught my attention in recently in the scriptures, and it was that word manifold. And it's so precious how that word is not too many times in the Bible, but the times that it talks about God is what I really want to talk about today. And there's four times that I'm going to refer to the word manifold. There's two in the Old Testament and two in the New Testament. And each time it's a little bit different word. And I'll tell you some of the meanings of those as we go on here. If you want to turn to Nehemiah chapter 9, and I'll get you a little bit caught up on what's going on here in Nehemiah. You know that Israel had been in captivity for 70 years. And previous to this, Ezra had returned after the captivity and rebuilt the temple. And now here in Nehemiah, Nehemiah had returned and built the walls of Jerusalem. And so after all this had been done, and it had been through much opposition from the enemy, but God was faithful and saw it done, the people got together and read the word of God, like we're doing today. And they just got up and they heard the word of God. It says that they built a pulpit of wood and stood up and read the word of God to the people. Isn't that wonderful? And so the Levites were there. And they rehearsed in Nehemiah 9. It's a wonderful chapter. If you want to read on your own, you would be blessed. But the Levites stood up and they blessed the Lord. And they talked about God, how he had created heaven and earth and the seas. And that he chose Abram and gave him the name of Abraham. And he had promised him the land of Canaan. And then many years later, as they were slaves in Egypt, God sent Moses down there and brought the plagues upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and delivered them. And then he brought them to the Red Sea and crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And he led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And came to Mount Sinai. He gave them the law there and the judgments. He gave them the Sabbath. He brought them manna from heaven. He brought them water from the rock. And then down here in, it says in verse as they go on, but they rebelled. In all that God had done for them, they rebelled. And they even wanted to appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. And they made a golden calf even and said, this is your God that brought you forth. They did all these things. And in verse 19... we're talking about manifold here. This is manifold mercy. In verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. And as our pastor said, that mercy means the opposite of what we deserve. And you think of what God had shown these people and done for them, and they wanted to turn back, and they didn't even recognize him as God. They made a golden calf. And what did they deserve? Did they deserve God to continue to provide for them and keep them, lead them? No, they didn't deserve that. They deserved for him to turn his back and say, that's it, you've rejected me, I'll just leave you alone to your own devices. But he was merciful to them. He showed them what they didn't deserve. And then going on here, that generation didn't enter into the promised land, but the next generation did. First, they were 40 years in the wilderness. And it says that their clothes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell. He brought them towards Canaan and delivered all their enemies into their hands. And he brought them into the land, and all those nations that were against him, God had him defeated. And he just showed his faithfulness. He brought him in and he gave him houses they didn't have to build, wells they didn't have to dig, vineyards, oliveyards, fruit trees, all these things he gave them. They just walked into it. It was all there for them. And what does it say? Yet they rebelled again. And he sent his prophets, and they killed his prophets, and just over and over. So down, go down to verse 27. It says, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, and according thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. So even though, again, they rebelled, and all this, God, in his manifold mercy, he gave them the opposite of what they deserved. He sent them saviors, which are the judges. There's a period of judges where the people would turn away from God and be captured by their enemies, and then God would send them a judge, a savior, and they would raise them up, deliver them, and then there would be a time of peace, and then they would go fall back into captivity again. They would turn away from God and just went over and over. It's the period of judges was not a wonderful time to look back on in Israel. It was kind of a sad time. But God, in his manifold mercy, still gave them those saviors. And then after the judges was the time of the kings. And what the period we're looking at here in Nehemiah is after the time of the kings, because the kings were, our pastor's been going over this on Wednesday nights, most of the kings were pretty evil. There was few that were good kings, and so the people just, again, went worse and worse and worse. And as you read through Nehemiah, the Levites are just continuing to thank God for his mercy. And how about us today? You know, we aren't always perfect. We have failures. We sometimes try to put ourselves first and go with our own ideas instead of seeking the Lord for his leading. And we don't deserve the Lord's goodness, but he is merciful. And he gives us what we don't deserve. Praise the Lord. It's the mercy that he shows us. And this word mercy here in the Hebrew, it means abundant, exceedingly great. That's the mercy that what is talked about here. And the psalmist David in the Psalm 103 says, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. The heavens above the earth, that's pretty high. You can get in a plane and look down, you're pretty high up, but it goes higher than that. And it's his mercy is so much higher than that. As our brother talked about, Michael talked about, you know, just showing compassion on someone. His mercy, think of how high that is above us. We can fail, we can have miserable things going on in our lives, but the Lord is always merciful. His mercy is that much higher. It's way greater than what we can, than our failure. So praise the Lord for his mercy. And then the next one is manifold works. Let's turn over to Psalm 104. So in Psalm 104, this is somewhat of a covering over like a little bit of a history thing too, but looking back at as the psalmist looks over things, he says, God's very great. He, again, talks about creation, created heaven and earth, and all the things he lists here. He created the clouds, the wind, the waters. He provides shelter and food and water to the animals and gives food and drink to man. And he made the night where the beasts creep forth and a day where man goes to work. And in Psalm 104, verse 24, the psalmist exclaims, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. God's manifold works. And, you know, you can, it's wonderful to look around and see what the Lord has made and what the works he's doing. This word in the Hebrew means to increase, to become many, or become great, and to multiply by the myriad. In other words, just like thousands upon thousands. God's works that he has done. Job said this. He said, in thinking of the Lord, he said, these are a part of his ways, but how little a portion of him is heard. And in the world today, man, God's given man some wonderful intelligence to build these telescopes that can look into outer space and even launch one out into the past the atmosphere where it's really clear, and they've seen these things that are just amazing. You've seen the pictures of the Hubble telescope and how amazing these, you know, galaxies and cloud formations and stars and suns are, so wonderful. And you would just be in awe of what God's created. But what does the scientists and those people that are so intelligent do? They think, well, let's figure out how this was made, you know? And they put their minds together. They're so smart. And they say, well, there had to be this big explosion. It all came from that. Big bang. You know, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And how foolish is that? Why not just realize, you know, it says right in Genesis 1:1, God created, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And just be in awe and wonder at what God has done instead of trying to, but man in his unbelief doesn't go there. Natural man will not, they'll do everything they can, and as foolish as it might sound, to discredit God in his creation. But, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork, doesn't it? And Psalm 107 over and over says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Don't go up there and say, let's figure out how this was done. Just, Lord, you're amazing. Not, my little 2x4 brain can't figure this out. I just know you did it. And you just wish that men would praise the Lord for what he's done and not try to go around him. But again, that's natural man. Thank the Lord we get to hear the truth in here. Hallelujah. In the latter chapters of Job, the Lord speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. And he says some things here, how he created it all. He keeps it all. The sun in the sky, the depth of the sea, death, light, darkness, snow, hail, rain, the stars, the clouds, lightning, wild goats, unicorns, peacock, the ostrich, the wonderful horse that's fearless, and hawks, eagles, all these things that the Lord just exclaims to Job that he's created. And isn't it wonderful that as you read through them, just like, oh, how amazing God created all these things, you know? And then even man, how amazing our physical body is that God created. It's so, these are, but okay, let's just think about this now. These things that I've all talked about are all things that you can see. And what does the Bible say? The things that are seen are temporal. Things that are unseen are eternal. So we talk about God's manifold works. Let's look at the eternal things, the work he's doing in us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the manifold works he's doing. He's done all these things that we can see that are going to be gone sometime. But the work he's doing in us is eternal. He's changing us from glory to glory. Some of the things he's changed us from, okay, like, you know, what we were and where we are. Unrighteous fornicators, abusive, thieves, drunkards. The Bible says, such were some of you. But, not like that, but God. But ye are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's changed us. That's the work he's done and he's doing. Changing us from glory to glory. Hannah exclaimed, he's taken the beggar from the dunghill to set him on the throne of a prince and inherit the throne of glory. Think about that. How God's taken us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He didn't just like get us out of the mud pit and the slime and set us on our feet and say, there you go. He's exalted us to the throne. He wants us to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. That's the work he's doing. That's the manifold work God's doing in every one of our lives. He has a plan and purpose for us, and he goes about it a different way as only God can. But he's working a work in us that we're going to praise him for eternity. He's going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, the next one, manifold wisdom. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Manifold wisdom. In Ephesians 3, Paul is telling how God had given him the dispensation of grace. And he made known to Paul this hidden mystery that God hid from ages and generations. And God in his wisdom, he can hide something. He can hide your nose from your face. But he hid this mystery in the word of God. And it was there. But it wasn't going to be seen by anybody till God revealed it. And so he chose Paul. That was the vessel he chose to reveal it to. This hidden mystery. And if you read through here, just look at verse 5, Ephesians 3, 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And that word fellow heirs is that word in the Greek, sukleronimus. And it means to be a joint heir as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. That's the mystery that the Lord revealed to Paul. Out of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And it's, think of how God in his manifold wisdom did this. He hid it, but he revealed it to Paul. And it's for this church age. He kept it for this church age. It wasn't revealed to the prophets in centuries past, though they wanted to look into it. They wrote about it, but they couldn't see it until God revealed it. And it's showing that through the church, God was going to make shown this manifold wisdom. And it's I like how in verse the end of verse 9, God created all things by Jesus Christ. So here, in all these three words so far, it refers back to creation, which I think is wonderful because it's God showed himself to man in creation, and man tries to discount that. But over and over in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we're reminded God created it all. And Jesus keeps it all. So in verse 10, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And there's another version of this verse that maybe makes it a little more clear. It says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God's using the church to show his wisdom to the heavenly principalities and powers. He's using us, what he can do with us, not that we're wise, obviously. It's not us, it's the grace of God. And he's showing the power of his grace, that he could take man that is weak and a mortal man that has these five senses that lead him astray. He's in this world that's pulling at him all the wrong ways. He's got a devil that's against him that's way more powerful than he can resist on his own. And we're weak. We're subject to illness. We're subject to our own thoughts. And God shows in his wisdom, he's going to take that man and make him a new creation in Christ, and he's going to exalt him to have his best. That's the wisdom of God, and he's using us to show that to the principalities and powers in heaven. Hallelujah, that he's going to make us joint heirs with Jesus Christ from, again, the guttermost to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. Another example of God's wisdom is in Romans 11. And this is, Romans talks a lot about Israel. And we know that Israel was God's chosen people. And they are God's chosen people. He's going to maybe restore them here pretty quick, the way the world's going. But the Jews had an advantage. They unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the adoption, the glory. He made covenants with them. He gave the law to them. The priestly service of God was committed to them, and the promises, and Jesus Christ descended from Israel. So they had this advantage that the Gentiles didn't have. And in fact, the Gentiles, here's what we had. We were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So here's these people of God that have all this advantage, and here's these Gentiles that have nothing going for them. And God wants to show his manifold wisdom, and he wants to show his grace and salvation to everyone. Well, how does that happen? Well, all the Jews and all that the advantage they had didn't do them any good. They still didn't believe God. they still failed. And so in Romans 11 here, verse 32 and 33, for God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. He wants to show his mercy. And then Paul exclaims in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You can't put God in a corner. You can't say, well, these people have all this advantage and these people have nothing. They're doomed. There's nothing good for them. God's got a plan. He just says, they're all in unbelief. I want to show my mercy. That's the answer. The mercy. The mercy of God is the answer. It's not what they can do or what they have, any advantage they have. It's God's mercy. What we don't deserve is what we get. And hallelujah, that's the wisdom he's showing us. And this word in the Greek, this word wisdom means multifarious. And okay, so when I try to look up a word, a definition for a word, I'm hoping it'll explain what that means to me. Well, I don't know what multifarious means. I had to go look up that word. I do that a lot. But it means having many varied parts or aspects. Okay? So God's wisdom has many varied parts or aspects. You can have people that are experts in some field or something. I'm somewhat of an expert in my machine shop, what I do. There's not a lot of people that know what I do in my field, and there's other people that have expertise in something. But, you know, God he's multifarious. He has wisdom in everything. And so my machine shop, I've got machines that are run by computers, and I get in a pinch, and I'm like, this machine's not working. I can't figure it out. And I ask the Lord, Lord, help me. And he'll show me, well, that part there needs to be replaced, or that needs to be tweaked over there. And he knows that machine better than I do. He knows everything better than we all do. But even with the computer, I mean, you just think of computers as such like a modern thing that they didn't have in the past, you know. Well, if I come up with a program that's not working, and Lord, help me figure this out, bam, it's right there. Change that code and you got it. God's there for everything. If you've got a problem, no matter how small it is, how big it is, and how stupid you feel, or smart you think you are, just call to the Lord. He shows you. He's shown me that over and over and over and over. I could go on about how God he's so wise. He's manifold wisdom in every little thing, every great thing, every small thing. That's why, as the psalmist said, you know, if men would just praise the Lord for how wonderful he is instead of trying to figure it all out in their own minds, it doesn't work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, the last one is manifold grace. I love the bookends here. We start out with manifold mercy. We end up with manifold grace. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 10, Peter says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what is that gift? As every man has received the gift. I contemplated that, thought about it, prayed about it, asked the Lord to show me what that was about. And of course, you know, we know of the gifts of the Spirit. That's wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. Those are gifts from God. And then it can also apply to talents that the Lord's given anyone. Like last night we heard the wonderful musical talent, the singing talent. But it could be a trade the Lord's given you, that a talent. You know, anything we have, the talent we have, is not something we've worked up ourselves. It's something the Lord's given us. It's a gift. And it's not for us to keep to ourselves and just for our own good, but it's to benefit all. It's to profit all. The Bible also talks about the gift of the grace of God. And as we receive the grace of God, we are able to show it to others too and minister it to others. So any gift we have, again, people would think, well, if I just, you know, went to school and tried to do all this and put my mind to it, I can do it. Well, a lot of people have that idea and it doesn't always work out. It's only the grace of God and his ability to give us things. The Bible tells us how God gives wisdom. He gives riches, honor, and glory. He can like with Paul, he can make you abound, he could bring you abased, you know, and to be content. God's in control. He knows what he's doing. It's not our efforts. We let the Lord know our desires in prayer, but we're saying, Lord, this is what I'd like, but I want your will above all, because I know you've got me on a course that'll land me in heaven your best if I'll just follow it. And so I want your will. I want you to take the reins of my heart and life and have your way. But there's, so that's some of the gifts that we have, that the Lord gives to us. But also, there's one more gift that I thought was really important, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So as every man has received the gift, you know, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You need to be filled with the Spirit, and you need to stay full of the Spirit. And as you have received that gift, you can minister to one another as good stewards. That word steward was the same thing, that word that Paul said he was given a dispensation. That's the same word, dispensation, stewardship. We want God to be good stewards of what God's given us, the grace of God. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that. We can be, you know, do things to benefit others, but when you have the Holy Spirit guiding you, that's when you really do good. Because there's times you might see someone in need and you think, well, I could give that person some money that would help them out. God might not want you to do that. And if you're led of the Spirit, he'll let you know that you should or shouldn't do that, because he has that person where he wants him. And maybe he does want to use you for that or some other blessing, whatever it is. But also he might just want you to sit back and let, you know, see what he does. And it's not going to be your help. And even if it did, again, it's always the glory to God. But when you're led of the Spirit, you can really be a blessing. You're not trying to do something to someone else. You think of David wanted to build the temple. And Nathan came to him and says, yeah, you're a good guy. You know, God's shown you favor. Go do it. And the Lord came to him and said, no. Nathan, that's not the man I chose. It's going to be his descendant. His son's going to do that. So you got to go back and tell him that's not for him. So, again, we want to be led of the Spirit. You can't just look at something and say, well, you know, I've seen this in the past, and God's shown you favor, so go for it. You seek the Lord, and you want the Holy Spirit to lead you. So you need to have that. As you've received that gift of the Holy Spirit, then you can minister wonderfully to others. And this word in the Greek means... this word manifold grace means various in character. And aren't we a bunch of characters here? I thought about it. Man, we're so different. You know, but we're not a bunch of, you know, dead slugs on a log or something. You know, God's taken us through things. It builds character in you. It does. And we're a bunch of characters, and we're so various from different places and different backgrounds and whatever, but the Lord's brought us together. And so various characters is that manifold there. And it also means various colors. And I thought about, you've seen the sunrise and sunsets lately. They've been just spectacular. Think about how God takes those just for a moment's of time, and it's the whole sky is filled up with something, and it's just like, wow. But then it changes, and it's various colors as God changes it. Only he can do that. And he does that daily, you know, with the clouds and the sun. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. He's the sunrise. And that's how, and then think of the rainbow too, the various colors in the rainbow. And when Jesus takes his throne in Revelation 4, it says the throne was like a rainbow. Rainbow round about the throne, all these various colors. And that's how grace is. I love to think of it, the various colors of grace. You start to get a revelation of the grace of God as you hear a sermon or study your Bible or whatever, and you think, oh, it's so wonderful. But then later on, you get another one, and it's, wow, it's that much more greater. It's so much more wonderful. And then you think you know so much of the grace of God, but you don't. And he opens it up to you. Your whole life, you can just learn and grow and more in the grace of God. Just different colors of the grace of God. I love that. And that's how grace is. And that's how God shows it to us and how we can show it to others. It's unending. It's wonderful. It's various like that. And it just keeps to unfolding. So the Lord brought me this conclusion to read to you here as I close, putting this all together. So these four manifolds. God delights to show us his manifold mercy. the opposite of what we deserve. And by the manifold work he is doing in us, he is showing his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies. That by his manifold grace, we can be the wife of the Lamb, joint heirs and glorified together with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I hope that's encouraging, give you something more to praise the Lord for. He is amazing, wonderful, great. Praise the Lord.